It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's September 22nd and 23rd. And for those of you listening on Saturday, September 22nd, if you make your way down to Northeast Delta Dental Stadium, we have a celebrity softball game starting at 2 o'clock, so you can get there at 1 o'clock to buy tickets. Tickets are $10, and it's a fundraiser for the Campaign for Legal Services. One of the things I've learned from my esteemed colleague, Erica Bodwell, who was on the show with me last weekend, is that there's a huge need for legal services for the underserved population, particularly in the civil arena. So things like domestic disputes, rent disputes, and things like that, the Campaign for Legal Services does a great job serving the underserved. And if you've ever been to one of their breakfast meetings, you know how lives can be changed because of the Campaign for Legal Services. So that is today, Saturday, September 22nd, 2 o'clock at Northeast Delta Dental Stadium. Tickets are at $10. Want to put a shout-out to my running friends who participated in the Hooksett Road Race last weekend. I'm over by the Hooksett Public Library. A lot of fun raising money for the Kiwanis Club. But with me this weekend is Jeff Levin, colleague, professional colleague, someone I've known for many years, who, as our topic today, it's called Surviving and Thriving in the Digital Age. And both Jeff and I simultaneously have concluded over the past few years that the world's kind of become a little topsy-turvy with people, you know, multitasking, people trying to do too much at the same time. Plus, you know, you go out to dinner and you see families, you know, communicating instead of eyeball to eyeball, that, you know, they're basically texting, you know, on their iPhone. And there's a lot of examples, obviously, from the extreme, you know, texting with driving is from my own examples, which prompted me to write a book called on mindfulness called A Better Me, A Better You, A Better World. And the co-author is Professor Burrell. And it's basically, I was noticing my own employees, you know, on the phone while they were simultaneously emailing. And so, you know, I would notice emails that weren't really that well written. And so it's basically that I didn't coin the term, but I like to say unitasking as opposed to multitasking. And this led to, we have a Professor Burrell comes in and does mindfulness training, which, without getting into too much detail, there's obviously a meditation component, but it's basically, you know, being present, which is why I love to downhill ski, because when you're skiing fast downhill, you have to be present. So there's definitely stress in the digital age in corporations, but of course, you know, there's also stress in school-age children. And Jeff has really, in the last few years, developed a practice working with both college age and high school age students, you know, on this topic. So with that as an introduction, Jeff, why don't you further describe your background? Because you were a more traditional psychotherapist at one point, and you've kind of blended out to coaching. So tell us about your very robust history.
Well, thank you for having me in the studio, Tom. Robust history, we're the same age. In 1980, I began to teach junior high school in suburban Boston. Made a go of it, was somehow unfulfilled, went back to grad school, became a clinical social worker. Fast forward, always a specialty with kids and families, but fast forward to Columbine, 1999, 19 years ago. Commemorated 9/11 yesterday. That was the second big tragedy that I wasn't used to. And then we're in an age here, 17 years after 9/11, where we have a generation of anxious kids. I feel like they're the canaries in the digital coal mine. And hence my focus has always been on kids, Tom. But we've all had baggage through the years, right? But we've got an extra layer called the digital age now. We've got to sort that through.
And so we recently co-authored an article, Stress in the Digital Age, which appeared in the New Hampshire Business Review. So it was sort of targeted at business leaders, but it does obviously apply as well to college students and high school teachers. And basically, you know, some of our points were in this digital age that we're in, almost everybody is stressed out with too many emails and not enough time. The ability to shed stress and connect deeply with oneself, you know, can be taught. So tell us about how you're helping shed stress for college and high school students and how it may also apply to the adult world.
Well, we're just getting into something called the Reconnection Project, just to give a little plug. That's to be adopted by schools. Schools are where the kids are, right? So my focus is on kids. We wrote that article together, which is always a pleasure to collaborate. You know, most corporations are peopled by moms and dads, and there's a funny. To my wife's chagrin, I adopted the metaphor of an octopus, the digital octopus. Miranda tells me that octopi are very friendly creatures and shouldn't be in this metaphor, but they have eight arms, and the digital age has sort of wrapped us up without our knowledge. And right?
Yeah. Why are you picking on an octopus?
I knew that was coming.
Because Miranda is correct. I'm actually familiar with octopi.
You are familiar with the octopi.
Doesn't necessarily want to necessarily swim with one and be, you know, clenched by one, but I've heard the same thing that Miranda. But the whole idea is that, you know, you have eight tentacles out there, and all of us are wrestling with this. So tell us some good first steps for college kids and for 20-somethings, and then we'll get into parents. And for my business leader friends, CEO colleagues, you have to remember, you know, if your employee colleagues are worried about their son or daughter who is, you know, stressed out in high school or college or junior high or at age four, they're not going to be as focused at work. So there is obviously a direct correlation between a employee worker's ability to focus and whether his or her family, you know, is doing well. That's why this whole project that I work with John Broderick on, changedirection.org and mental health is so important, because just about every family is going to be affected by mental health and drug addiction issues. And even if it's not the employee, him or herself, if she or he is worried about what's going on back at the ranch, that, you know, they can't focus.
No, 100%. And I think we need some new language, by the way, because I think the new mental illness, I just call it digital anxiety. And I know you asked a question, and because I'm so old, I've probably forgotten it, but I think we all are laden with digital anxiety. Too many emails. There's a good chance one of our kids might be struggling with a lot of anxiety. We have the octopus, or if you want to rename it, if you can come up with a more a better metaphor, but global warming, dysfunction in Washington, opiates, school shootings, worldwide terrorism. Did I mention global warming? 24-hour news cycle. 24/7 judgment cycle, Snapchat with the children. So we haven't wrapped our arms around it. Maybe the octopus can be friendly and help us wrap our arms around what's really going on. You see what I'm saying?
I do. And when I've chatted with you, and sometimes we chat late at night when you're coming back from, you know, meeting with a college team, and just for the listening audience, Jeff has had several engagements with, you know, well-known, you know, college sports teams and high school teams, and maybe you can kind of speak to it in a composite way. But one of the things that's always not surprised us, but is something that we keep seeing over and over, the quote-unquote star athletes and the kids that, you know, that are on these teams and seemingly have everything going for them, you know, have many or more of the same stresses as kids that might be perceived as, you know, being troubled. So tell us about some of your experiences without necessarily naming, you know, the school or university.
Well, you know, I could go on and on, and I struggle with this because no one, it feels to me in common parlance or in social interactions, no one's really talking about the problem comprehensively. And I feel like a naysayer or a doomsday guy when I start talking about all this stress and anxiety, and to some extent, I suppose I have been, but I just feel like we need new models. So I worked in the last 2.5 weeks, I was on the road with three New Hampshire public school football teams, a private school football team in Connecticut, two prep school soccer teams, and a hockey club in New Jersey. So I probably interacted with, I don't know, 400 or 500 children in that time. And, you know, Tom, when you see 10-year-olds with iPhones coming up the stairs to Mr. Levin's class, and you go to these football teams and boys are getting up, I always ask kids their greatest adversity and their dreams. And I'll tell you this, the dreams are always what you might expect. I want to play in the NFL. I want to get married and be happy. I want my parents to be healthy. The adversities are always connected to the octopus somehow. I'm really stressed out. I had a kid say to me, we eat dinner with our iPhones. When I ask my mom, can we put our phones away? Those are always the best dinners. So
the kids are recognizing it.
The kids are beginning to recognize it. The college kids certainly recognize the sequelae of the digital age. They'll go to parties and say, hey, let's put our iPhones in our purses or in our cars, and they want to do that. But fundamentally, you know, and I think this conversation wanders because no one's had the conversation. But fundamentally, if the adults, educators and parents and athletic coaches can't name comprehensively name the problem, how would you expect the kids to understand the problem? And I think the problem goes to this octopus notion that there's so much going on that's troubling. You know, I don't want to mention my list again, but each one of those problems, opiate scourge, dysfunction in Washington, et cetera, each in itself could be a hell of a milestone or a hell of a hill to climb, but we have six or seven of them. And most people are very distracted by that, and certainly very visibly distracted by the computer in their pocket.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with Jeff Levin. And this weekend, we're talking about digital 2018, kind of the bombardment of digital technology, the stresses, people multitasking, not being present, which has led to a project that Jeff is describing as the Reconnection Project. It's also led to me co-authoring a book on mindfulness, which really is all about, you know, being present and not overdoing, you know, the digital world. And I think that's one thing I know, Jeff, when I speak in the community about mindfulness, the first thing I like to do is allay fears, you know, that I'm a guy walking around, you know, in the earth shoes and listening to John Tesh music and things like that, that basically I acknowledge that
see the earth shoes.
No earth shoes, but people don't even know what we're talking about. But for the listening audience, that was, you know, your heel actually should be lower than the front of your foot. So back in the 70s when Jeff and I were in high school, they came out with earth shoes where the heel was actually lower than the front, and they called them earth shoes. But anyway, so it's not about hippies and all this stuff. It's really, you know, about dealing with this kind of digital craze. But I always start, just so people don't think that I'm going overboard and overly correcting. The reality is technology, when used in balance, can be a good thing. It's certainly, it's helped the healthcare system, although I know we all struggle sometimes navigating the healthcare system, but certainly
saving lives,
100%. Lives, things like that.
100%.
And obviously, you know, the being able to use your cell phone in an emergency, whereas in the old days you had to run to a payphone and things like that. So we all know that technology is here to stay, A, and B, when used appropriately, it's really a good thing. So I always start off by saying that, and then I get into, but we can't overdo it. I mean, I can't be walking around a company which was ranked the second best company to work for in New Hampshire, right? So we're a good company. But I can't see people, you know, with the phone on their neck, you know, typing an email, you know, at the same time. And I don't want to see that. So this kind of was, I don't know, surfaced for me when I talked to other best company leaders. And that's the big thing they also worry about is that we all have these great employees, but are they going to be overwrought with technology and trying to do too much? And thus the book. You concluded the same thing based on your interaction with the kids, as you described, all the high school and colleges and so forth. So tell us about the Reconnection Project, and then let's talk about specific things, you know, that a parent, that a student and a business leader could do. So we're not guilty of just kind of describing the problem without at least trying to suggest some solutions.
Well, let me take those in reverse order. I think what we need to do is what you know, meditation, as you know, has been around for, as far as I know, 2,600 years. I think Buddha got people focused on mindfulness and slowing down and being unifocused and just being there, right? So the first suggestion to busy adults is to really take a breath. Oxygen, you know, I call it lately, I've been calling it whale breathing. I guess they found that sea mammals breathe in for 4 seconds, hold it, breathe out for 4, and then hold it.
Does Miranda have any comment on whales, too?
She loves whales.
Whales, too. She
loves octopi.
Yeah, okay. And she loves the way that whales breathe.
Well, who wouldn't?
That's,
I mean,
before
they dive, they got to take a 5-minute dive. They'll do this quartet breathing, 4 seconds in, hold, exhale for 4, hold, in the out position, which is antithetical, sort of anti-instinct. You're out of oxygen, you want,
right,
to breathe. But it really relaxes the nervous system. So if you're busy driving around, listen, remember that. Try this quartet breathing, whale breathing. Very important. And then when your children talk to you, look them in the eye. Do not be distracted by your texting and your iPhone, or your employees talk to you. You know, there's a story about a rabbi or a priest, or these stories go around in different traditions. When you go to talk to Father John or Rabbi Steve, you always felt like you were the only person in his world. And that's what your children want to feel when they talk to you. Maybe not every time. But I was in a pediatric office the other day in Mass, not far from where we grew up. And dads were carrying in babies for visits, sick babies, with one hand a baby, one hand an iPhone. And it gives me shivers.
It does. And it's interesting you say that, because, you know, I'm not necessarily the best public speaker, but the best
You were rated number one public speaker.
But the biggest compliment I ever got was, someone gave me feedback, was when Tom was speaking to the group, that it was like he was talking to me individually. So you're right, people like to hear their name, they like the eye contact, and they'll feel that you're present. And for business leaders, the worst thing you can do is... when an employee comes into your office and they're describing either a business problem or a problem away from the office, and you're saying, oh, you know, you're concerned, you're sincere. Meanwhile, you're emailing.
Right.
I've seen that. I mean,
oh, yeah,
that is such a turnoff. So one of the things I've learned is when I do meet with employees, I try to create a lot of white space around. In other words, so like if I'm meeting with you, Jeff, you know, at 2:00, and I know it may be a serious problem, or at least a problem either in and outside the office, like I try to have white space, like, you know, a half hour before the meetings, you know, so that I'm sort of cleared, and then that I don't have a back-to-back meeting,
right,
because on the off chance you need an hour instead of a half hour,
right,
it's not like I'm rushing you out the door.
Well, look, there's no question that adults are more stressed. I don't know. I'm not a big one on statistics, but anecdotally, we all know we're being pulled in at least 8 directions. And so there's a concept in the psychoanalytic literature called mirroring, one of the few that makes sort of common and immediate sense. You know, when you have a little baby and he goes goo goo goo, you say goo 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 and you smile. And when your 4-year-old comes home from school and she's upset, you frown and you say, honey, what's the matter, right? So that's mirroring. And that, on a granular level, is kind of going away in everyday culture. And if it goes away in your home, and you assume that your son is upstairs doing his homework when he's had an iPhone since he was 13, you know, you have to be there for your children,
right,
for your employees, for your spouse, for yourself. So the Reconnection Project is all about, you know, reconnecting those solder joints that have gotten frayed. Right, solder joints where, you know, the connection with self is the most critical, right? If I'm not really on my feet on the ground as a mom or a dad, how can I really mirror and raise my child in this very complicated octopus world, right? So the Reconnection Project, we're excited about it.
What are some of the other basic techniques that a mom and dad can use, a teacher can use? Counselor can use, a coach can use.
Sit down and take a piece of paper or take your iPhone, wherever you like to write, and write down a plus column and a negative column, and write about, honestly, on the assumption no one's going to see your journal entry. What's going well in your life, in your family's life, in your professional life, and what doesn't feel good? And get real honest about the particularly the minus sign. And I will bet dollars to donuts that a lot of it is going to be because you're stretched and stressed in the bombardment age. Take a look at it as an adult. And if you need some help, get some help. I mean, it's a 12-minute radio show, so that may sound vague, but I think making that very simple inventory is a really good idea.
So if we've spurred some interest and with the Reconnect Project and just kind of this overall topic, how, and if someone wants to get a hold of you, can you give us your contact information?
Yeah, absolutely. The proverbial website is jefflevincoaching.com. Jeff with a J, Levin, L-E-V as in victory, I-N. coaching.com.
And your phone number is Erie Code 603-496-0305, 603-496-0305.
Jeff Levin Coaching, that's right. How do you know my phone number? Don't call me. I don't want you calling.
Well, because the answer is because Jeff will pick up, unless he's obviously being present with a client.
Right.
Jeff will pick up the phone and answer it and certainly call you back. And my book on mindfulness, A Better Me, A Better You, A Better World, co-authored by Professor Burrell, can be purchased at Gibson's, you know, right here in Concord. I must say, yes, you can go online on Amazon and purchase it, but I would prefer that if you connected with a human being at Gibson's and purchased it.
Go see Michael at Gibson's,
absolutely. Michael at Gibson's, and you're dealing with, you know, a local... local business, you know, et cetera.
How much time do we have, Tom? 30 seconds?
I would say if you can wrap things up, give us a minute with any summary and advice for, and again, this is both for business leaders, parents and coaches and kids.
Let's reconnect. Let's slow down. Let's breathe. Let's make that plus and minus sign. Let's reconnect. We've got to slow this thing down. Human beings require, you remember Maslow's triangle from your
Maslow's
studies?
Maslow's hierarchy.
Yeah.
You start with the basics. If you need to be safe and secure.
No, you need food, water, sleep.
Right, and then?
Then you need mirroring and connection.
Right.
Connection is huge. And we've got to admit, we're a little bit disconnected and frayed around the edges. Let's slow this thing down. Please get in touch with Tom or me.
Yes, so I can be reached at 223-1300. You can get my book, Mindfulness, at Gibson's. You can reach out to Jeff at 496-0305. Want to give also a thanks to New Hampshire Business Review for publishing our article, which was called Corporate Stress in the Digital Age. The consequences have a direct effect on the bottom line. So it was directed to business leaders, but it does apply, obviously, to the younger generation as well. That was in the August 30th edition of New Hampshire.
Now, let me ask you something. We both grew up listening to WRKO driving around suburban Boston. Are you going to close with the typical number or one of a musical number?
Well, in 30 seconds, can you play a number? But anyway, but Jeff, what Jeff's alluding to, Jeff is a terrific musician.
Easy now.
You are. I've seen you play at different local restaurants, at my wedding. And he also, and this is kind of a teasing the listening audience, he can also use musical instrument as part of his coaching philosophy.
Music soothes the savage soul, baby.
There you go.
But Tom has left many a voicemail on my number.
I have, and I usually give him a tune, and I like to have those tunes that require me to go up an octave or two, but we'll save that for another show. So Jeff Levin, 603-496-0305.
JeffLevinCoaching.com.